KGH Property Development LLC is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Indian River 100, Sussex County, dividing 80.55 acres into 112 lots using the cluster development concept. Also requesting a variance from the maximum allowed cul-de-sac length of 1,000 feet. Being located west of Road 290, 770 feet north of Road 292. This application was also reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee on November 23rd of 2005, and that Technical Advisory Report is a part of the record. Early this week, the applicants provided a copy or a booklet, exhibit booklet. Rather large, which includes site data and contacts, site information, references to water service, references to sanitary sewer service, stormwater management systems, an appendices that include a traffic study, plus comments and responses, compliance with 99-9C, utility commitment letters, preliminary site plans, declaration of covenants, conditions, and restrictions, preliminary wetlands investigation, assessment of cultural resources, a phase one environmental assessment report, a preliminary site characterization, a summary of endangered species and natural heritage assessments. That is, again, in booklet form. It is a part of the record. And all the commissioners do have copies. I believe that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
All right, sir, thank you. Gentlemen, the chairman and the commission recognizes Mr. Fuquay and welcomes him back in our midst after a brief hiatus. You're looking a little thinner, your hair a little whiter. You look like you feel pretty good.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I can certainly say compared to what I've been doing on Thursdays for the last couple of months, it's a real pleasure to be here before you tonight. Well, I hope, anyway.
Well, we're just tickled to death that you're able to be here. So proceed.
Thank you.
Proceed.
As Mr. Lang stated, this is a subdivision application. Again, as for the record, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I do represent the applicant, KGH Properties. With me, seated behind me right back here, are Betty and Sal Gallo, who are some of the principals of KGH. Obviously, they're the G. Also with me is Gary Couples of ECI, and that's the engineering firm, and also the site planners for this proposal, and also Bruce Cruder of Artesian Company, technically Artesian Wastewater Management, in case there are any questions about how sewer will be provided to the site. Mr. Lang stated that there was a Carriage Green exhibit book that was submitted, and I assume you gentlemen all have a copy of that. As was stated, this is an application for a 105 single family lot subdivision to be known as Carriage Greens. The site itself contains 80.55 acres of land. It's currently zoned AR1 and, of course, will remain AR1. The proposal before you tonight utilizes the cluster option of the zoning ordinance. And in conformity with the clustering ordinance, the minimum lot size in the development is 7,500 square feet. There are several lots in this proposal that exceed 10,000 square feet, and the average lot size is approximately 8,500 square feet. The proposed 105 lots on 80.55 acres is a gross density of approximately 1.3 lots per acre. And by utilizing the cluster option of the county in the subdivision design, basically what's being requested provides approximately 50 acres of open space and recreational areas, and those 50 acres are over 60% of the entire site acreage. The property is located on the west side of Cool Spring Road, which is County Road 290. It's about 2 miles south of Route 9, which, as you know, is the main road from Lewis to Georgetown. The site contains wooded areas and also areas used as a chicken farm and a horse farm. The design of the Carriage Green subdivision is to incorporate the existing equestrian use into the development as a community facility and basically preserve a stable to create pastures for the horses and creating riding trails through the community that, of course, could also be used as walking trails. In planning the subdivision, a number of studies were undertaken, they're referenced in the exhibit book that was submitted. Although it was not required by DelDotto in the subdivision, a traffic impact study was prepared by Traffic Planning and Design, Inc., or traffic engineers. The TIS is in Appendix A of the booklet, and that TIS did conclude that the development will result in minimal, if any, impact on area roads. And in summary, what that indicated is that all intersections would remain at level of service A, with the exception of one, which would be a level of service B. So there's very, very little or minimal impact on area roads caused by this development. A cultural resource assessment was performed by Dr. Edward Otter, and that's basically the archaeological type investigation. His examination concluded that there was no archaeological or historic properties identified on the site, and there was no evidence of any existing cemeteries that are located on this site. A phase one environmental site assessment was prepared by ECI. That's in Appendix I. That inspection indicated that there were no environmental concerns that would affect the proposed residential use of the site, with the exception of some elevated nitrate levels in the groundwater near the existing chicken houses, which, of course, are not a surprise. But this development will be utilizing central water from artesian, so there will be no individual on-site wells, so that should not be a factor in connection with the development. Lisa Wood of Atlantic Resource Management, Inc. prepared an endangered species and natural heritage assessment, basically inquire from the agencies to see if there's any impact. That inquiry indicated that there were no endangered or threatened species at or adjacent to the site, and that this site was not within a natural heritage area. And finally, there was a wetland investigation that was prepared by Ed Linnae of Environmental Resources, Inc. That did identify a tiny area of federal wetlands. And Mr. Couples will show you that area when he goes over the site plan, but that area will not be disturbed and is not located within any lot lines. As to utilities for the development, electric will be provided by Delmarva Power, telephone by Verizon, and cable TV by Comcast. There'll be a central water system for the development that will be provided by Artesian Water Company. That will be for domestic use as well as fire protection. Artesian is a water company regulated by the Public Service Commission. It has constructed wells, treatment facilities, storage, and distribution facilities in this area, and they will be providing the central water to this site. Another artesian company, Artesian Wastewater Management, Inc., basically will be providing central wastewater service for the development. That'll be from a regional wastewater treatment facility. Artesian is presently constructing wastewater facilities in the area with excess capacity. The collection system within the Carriage Greens development would be constructed in accordance with county standards, County Ordinance 38 guidelines. And then Artesians would operate the system itself under the regulation of DENREC and the Public Service Commission. By utilizing Artesian as the wastewater service company and basically having being able to provide a off-site central treatment, the design of the Carriage Greens development was significantly improved over the original plan. The original plan had an on-site treatment and disposal area, and basically by teaming up with Artesian, that area was able to be incorporated into the development, resulting in, again, a better design. And Mr. Couples will explain that when he goes over the site plan. Again, in the exhibit book, there are ability to serve letters from the various utility providers. The development is located in the Cape Henlopen School District. From what we could determine, fire service is provided and within the jurisdiction of the Milton Volunteer Fire Company, although from the maps I looked at, I think it must be right on the borderline between two or three or maybe even four different fire companies. It seems to be right on the edge of different coverage areas. And obviously all those companies would be providing service if needed. The development, of course, will be subject to a declaration of restrictions, and all owners will be members of the Homeowners Association. They'll have the responsibility for enforcing the restrictions, for collection of dues and assessments, and for maintenance of the roads, the common areas, and the recreational facilities. As I mentioned in designing this plan for Carriage Greens, the applicant did attend the PLUS meeting. Subsequent to receipt of the PLUS comments, significant revisions were done to the original plan, based both on some of the PLUS comments that were received as well as what I just alluded to, mainly Artesian being able to provide the sewer service. Again, in the exhibit book, there is a response letter to State Planning Office from ECI. It's dated May 2nd, 2006, and it's a pretty detailed response, which I think really addresses and indicates how we did revise the plan to consider the comments that were made. That revised plan that I'm referring to, it did reduce the number of lots from the original proposed 112 to 105. That's significant because this application was actually filed about a year ago. As you know, it's taken about a year to get the hearing, so this was actually filed last July. And under the ordinance in effect at that time, two lots per acre was permitted under the cluster ordinance. So this being 80 acres, this development would have been permitted to have 160 lots or two per acre. And then, as you gentlemen know, in January, there was an amendment to the density in the low density area of the cluster ordinance that required a 25% reduction. So that would have, on this site, if it applied, would have reduced this to 120 lots. That amendment didn't apply to this because this was filed before that amendment. But whether it's 160 or 120, as I indicated, we're requesting 105, so that's less than the original permitted density or the amended density. And by utilizing the cluster option with the reduced lot sizes and by seeking a fairly low density number of lots, the site design, as I previously stated, was able to provide over 50 acres of open and recreational areas, and that is over 60% of the total site area. And that also includes preservation of over 60% of the existing woodlands on the site. So again, about 60% of the existing woods will be preserved based on this design. I also mentioned that the rural nature of the site will be maintained by preserving the community-operated and maintained horse stables, pasture area, and riding trails. And again, Mr. Couples will go over that on the site plan. That's not going to be a commercially operated for off-site use. It'll be for residents in the development who want to have horses, which obviously will be one of the marketing and attractions of this type of development. Recreational facilities on the site will be provided, and they'll include a clubhouse, a swimming pool, a tennis and basketball court, and playground. As Mr. Couples will show you, there's a central core recreational area, and then over by the horse area, the stable area, there'll be some additional facilities located there. So there's basically two areas in which recreational amenities will be provided. Streetlights will be provided in the development. Sidewalks will be provided on both sides of all subdivision streets. And as I mentioned, there'll be the riding trails throughout the development that also can be used as walking trails. The roads will be private. Our plan is not showing a school bus stop, but we do intend to include that with the input of the school district as to where that would be. We would envision that coming in off the entrance road that comes in from Cool Spring Road and somewhere in the vicinity of the front recreational area or along the road there in existing open space. The cluster option provided the ability to create a design which we certainly believe is far superior to the standard subdivision. It creates a quality residential community while at the same time preserving some of the natural environmental features, open space, and the agricultural horse nature of the existing site. And I think with that, I'll turn it over to Gary Couples to basically review the site plan with you. Gary.
Good evening. My name is Gary Couples. I'm with ECI, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And this evening, I'd just like to go over the plan that we have for Carriage Green. Both the plan that we're proposing to you tonight and the plan that was initially proposed during the PLUS meeting, you're going to see a vast, vast difference in those plans. It's shocking, quite candidly. But to give you a real quick run-through of the plan as proposed, we're accessing the property via, there's a 50-foot right-of-way. That's all the land that we have that's abuts Cool Springs Road. So we have an entrance there. What we're simply doing, we're crossing to the little creek that's here. There is wetlands on either side of that, but those wetlands aren't ours. They're on adjacent properties. There's two culverts that go through, and they're clearly identified on your plan. For the purposes of this color rendering, it seemed that we didn't want to add them. We are planning on this being a gated community. There'd be a key card system, and we'd have to address that issue as far as providing bus access with the school district and how they would want to provide that access, but we have considered it. So we're coming in. One of the issues that was brought forth in our proposal is the length. They talk about length of cul-de-sac. It's over 1,000 feet. We've got 1,000 feet from the right-of-way line of Cool Springs Road to the right line of Yearling Drive. And it's 1,049 feet. And the reason we did that is we wanted to get up over the hill, and it just made a lot more sense to get it there rather than to drop it back 50 feet to make that requirement. So that's why we did what we did. When you come into development, there is already existing stables. And if you look at Appendix I, which is the environmental statement, you'll find there's some color photos at the very, very back of that. And that gives you a pretty good indication of the stable and the outbuildings that were there to support the equestrian center that was already there. It existed there when the property was acquired. And the intent, obviously, is to keep that and make that an amenity for this project. And obviously, that's one of the other reasons for having a gate here. So in case a horse gets loose, it doesn't get out on Cool Spring Road. We are also proposing, as part of that area, we have parking. We also have a tennis court and a gazebo, and again, that provides then an intro to the riding trails that go all the way through the site. The riding trails are 10 foot wide, and they're also for pedestrian access. The way this thing's going to work is that the Homeowners Association will contract the running of the stable out as a separate entity. It's not going to be for public use. It's just for people that live here. But as far as maintaining it and making sure that the horses are taken care of and veterinary care and things of that nature are addressed. Moving right on through the project, I think Mr. Fuqua indicated to you that the average lot size was about 8,500 square feet. That's correct. However, there are a number of these lots that are in excess of 10,000 square feet. The reality of the situation is if you look, every one of these lots abut open space. So it really doesn't matter. I mean, even though we have lot lines, the reality of it is that it's a very open cluster type development, and I think it maintains some of the character of it being, an equestrian center or a horse area. So that's what our thinking behind that. There is an access to an adjoining property. The adjoining property here is all but landlocked. I think it has about 5 foot of frontage on the road. And we've provided that access because simply it was the right thing to do. But as far as to the north, it just didn't make sense. It would have bisected our corrals, and you didn't want to mix the horses with the cars, so we just didn't do that. One of the big detriments of this site is that there's 150-foot wide DPNL right-of-way for transmission line, which is also, we have color photos of that. So, you know, even though we had some lemons, we tried to make some lemonade out of it. We've shielded the lots here from that. They're not going to have a view shed into the transmission lines, and hopefully that will alleviate some of the concerns there. Continuing up through, we also have, as Mr. Fuquay indicated, a clubhouse, a swimming pool, and again, combination tennis basketball courts that functions as a central location for community activities over and above the horse equestrian thing. Then we continue back into the woods, and what we've done is we've limited the amount of clearing that would occur back in that woods. We sort of feel that the lot clearing itself for the houses, we're going to try to make that a minimal situation, and however, we do need to have a stormwater facility there. Now, that's the plan that we proposed. This was the plan that was initially taken before PLUS. And you can see that there's a vast, vast difference. Maybe I can count it up. And the reason that is that if we were not able to avail ourselves of the artesian wastewater disposal, the offsite, we would have needed this area to provide the sewage needs for this project. And this is for 112 lots. And as you can see, it clustered everything back into the woods. We did everything in our power to try and mitigate it, but the reality of it is pretty much the woods were going to be history. And I think this is a much far superior plan to what was proposed, and it just shows that the regionalization of sewage is truly, you know, a panacea in certain cases, certain development activities. So we like this plan an awful lot better. I hope you folks do too.
Mr. Couple, just while you're on the map, a quick question, something you can clarify for me that I couldn't tell from the earlier plan. Has there been additional land acquired as well between the two plans? Because it looked like sort of, I'm trying to get my bearings on this, there's a separate parcel. Well, it was sort of delineated. It was like now or formerly lands of James and Christine Abel on...
Well, that is it. This was the Abel Farm.
Okay. I just couldn't tell if that was something that was not part of that prior plan that you showed, and that's why it wasn't used.
No, it's the same piece of ground.
Okay, because it wasn't on that old plan. It wasn't designated open space. It actually listed the prior owners. It wasn't clear, you know, how that
Well, you know,
what
happened is we went ahead and you prepare plans for PLUS, and then right after that you submit your preliminary plan to get in line because there was at least a year delay before we would get a hearing with you, so we were anxious to get a plan in and get in line. And you know, fortunately, the thing with Artesian presented itself, and we had the opportunity to redesign. We had the comments from PLUS that we again tried very, very diligently to try and meet some of their design comments. There were, you know, obviously the one comment, which was the level 4. There's not an awful lot of we can do about that. That's a geographic thing that we don't have any control over, but. Perhaps Mr. Fuquay will bring that up in his closing remarks.
Gary, can you just point out where that, where Ed Lynette determined that there were 4 wetlands?
Sure. There's about a 2,000, and if you look at the overall big plan, there's about 2,000 square foot of jurisdictional wetland in this corner here. And we're just not doing anything.
And that's totally within our open space area, is that correct?
We're just not doing anything. It's there. And what it does is it forms basically the headwaters for a wetland that extends over into the adjacent property.
And again, I think the plan speaks for itself, but can you just point out as far as a buffer around the perimeter of the plan?
Sure, we have buffers, 30-foot buffers all around. And obviously, there's if you look at the tree cover, there's just buffers all around this property. As far as it being viewed from others, in all honesty, I don't think you'd have to know that this was there to find it. It really is a gem, and with the equestrian thing, we just think it's really a neat plan.
Well, you're still there, too. There looks like there's a horse path or bridle trail or whatever that connects with another piece of property or ends at the boundary line. What's the...
Well, again, as I mentioned, that property is landlocked.
Okay.
Okay.
I thought you were referring to the one up and around where there's actually a roadway.
Right here, we can see where we're connecting here, we also provided a connection there.
Speaking of trails, what about the other trail that just kind of goes to nowhere? I assume that's for a reason?
Well, because when you get on your horses, you come out of this corral here and you just come up along the edge.
Okay, so it's trying to tie in.
Trying to tie it in there. We could have extended it down all the way to the corral. Last time I was on a horse, I fell off, so I can't.
Get back on?
Yeah, I did.
Do you want to go back through 99C?
No, we're good.
Okay.
The booklet was submitted under Appendix C in there. There is a summary of the Ordinance Section 99.9C considerations that ECI prepared. And I think we believe that the application complies with those. And unless you would prefer me to review that, I'm just going to refer to that. And you can take a look at that. But I think it's pretty detailed and addresses the 99C concerns.
I think it's in the record.
Yeah, it's part of the record either way.
So I don't think you need to.
Okay, we believe Carriage Greens is a proposed low-density residential community. It provides extensive open space and, of course, under the AR zoning is a use that is permitted in that zoning district. Mr. Couples mentioned, of course, if you read the plus comments, that this is a level 4 designation and that the state opposes development in the level 4 area. You've seen letters like that before on other applications. I know the last plus meeting that I was at, we were presenting an application that was in level 4, and the only comments I got was it's in level 4, and they were against it. And I kind of said, you know, I drove up here from Rehoboth to get your comments, and, you know, this isn't doing anybody any good just hearing this. And we discussed that in some detail, and as you can imagine, it's a bit frustrating for a property owner and myself because there is that difference between the state's position and the county's position that you gentlemen are well aware of, and I'm certainly not going to go into my lecture mode about that tonight.
Thank you.
However, the state, although they call this level 4 rural area, the reality of it is this circle is a 3-mile radius of our site. Our site is the blue piece right here. This is Route 9 right up here, going from Lewis to Georgetown. Cool Spring Road comes right down here. We'll submit this for the record, but what this is showing is the green are approved or existing developments. The yellow are actually developments that are in some form of planning, either through the utility companies or through the PLUS process or applications with the county, but things of that nature. So there's a number of developments that exist and basically exist in this area. Again, from the site, the Beaver Creek development up on Route 9, a bit east of the site is the Ridings of Rehoboth, Heron Bay, the Reserve at Fortune Field, and these are all fairly recent developments in the last few years. White Horse Farm, I believe, is an older development. Just north of here is the, it speaks for itself. That's what's there. The Wilkerson property down here was a subdivision that was just approved within the last few months. It's very similar to this property in terms of size. It's a little more density than this site. It's a similar type of property. And in fact, I think that electric easement that comes to our site actually goes down there and goes through the same site. I believe it's the same easement. So it's a developing area. The state isn't in favor of it, but the law permits it. And basically, until there's some change in that, that's basically what the law is. If you approve this, you can impose conditions on it. I've prepared some proposed conditions, which I won't read, but they're similar to conditions that basically you've imposed on other subdivisions. And also, I have prepared some proposed findings of fact that certainly ask you to at least consider if you were to vote in favor of this, but I realize you certainly would prepare your own findings, although I basically take the findings you've done in the past and try to rephrase those to address this one.
Is that a form of plagiarism?
In a manner, but it's so good I thought you'd like to hear your own words. And with that, gentlemen, that's actually everything we have to present. As I said, we have representative from Artesian here. If you have any questions about the wastewater or the water, Mr. Couples and myself, and we'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
All right, sir. Thank you. We'll get about seeing if anyone has any questions for you. And Mr. Johnson, I believe you're up.
I do. And since the gentleman from Artesian's here, I do have a question concerning the off-site wastewater treatment program.
Good evening. My name is Bruce Kreuter. I'm Vice President of Planning and Engineering for both Artesian Water Company and Artesian Wastewater Management.
Can you show me on that map where the treatment plant will be? And
right now, yeah, I'll go over in just a minute. But right now we have two facilities under construction, one at Huron Bay and one at Beaver Creek. Our intention at the moment is to transport this water north to Beaver Creek, where we do have excess capacity and where we've already filed for conditional use.
But that hasn't been approved yet?
No, it has not.
Okay. And the Beaver Creek is the one there on Route 9? And
yes.
And here, you can just show where Huron Bay is.
And Huron Bay is just to the southeast.
Okay. But you're going to apply for, right now you're applying for Beaver Creek as a
Beaver Creek,
for
yes.
conditional use for that.
Yes, that's correct.
And you don't think those residents will mind having this stuff transported to their development and treated
you won't see it. You won't see it.
Okay.
And again, as a regulated utility, both water and wastewater, we're subject to, in terms of rates, and levels of service, all the standards of the Public Service Commission, and with respect to the actual treatment discharge, to all of the regulations and standards of the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control.
I personally think it's a great concept.
Yes, sir, John. I was just going to add that the county is planning areas for sewer, but then it also has areas that aren't planned for sewer. And there is a lot of development occurring in those, quote, low-density areas now. And, again, the same thing. I think Artesian or other companies that are going into this area are providing a regulated public utility company rather than these individual type of central systems on properties, which, again, I think is a much better way to do it. And the central water and sewer, of course, are conditions of approval that we submitted.
And back to your map here, Mr. Fuqua, you were using that as justification for or showing all the development that's going on in the area. Could an opposing party say, well, that's rationale for not approving another development if there's all this other development there?
Well, again, in our economy, need, demand is basically determined by market, not by government normally. The market, has its own way of determining what is needed and what isn't needed. The reason for showing the map was mainly geared toward addressing the level four position of the state, that these are rural areas where development, isn't desired. But again, that position, I think, ignores the reality of what's going on. And again, the ultimate issue is, that the AR zone permits single family development as a permitted use. And again, in the big picture, if that isn't what's wanted, then that's a political decision to be made and changes to be made to the zoning ordinance. But as it exists, this is permitted.
I have no further questions.
Thank you, sir. Burton.
Yes, you mentioned it would be the gated community, and I kind of drifted away on where the gate was. I lost you. Where's the gate?
It's on the...
Okay, so it's not all the way down at the end?
No. It's here. So people can turn off and get off the road. They're not...
I assume you're going to have a turnaround there for people that don't have access?
I would imagine that that would be something we would consider, yes.
And of course, that would have to be coordinated with the fire department and things of that nature for.
And you also mentioned that if you were part of the, that the homeowners association would pay for the stables and the horses and all that stuff. If I don't have a horse, am I part of that?
I'm sure there'd be an additional fee that a boarding fee or something that a resident would pay. My experience with that, not that I have a lot of experience with that, but people that want to be in that type of an environment are not just going to have somebody being taking care of the horse. They go over there every day. They want to feed the horse. They want to groom the horse. You know, there's people that's their hobby. That's their interest. And
would it be handled some way like similar to, say, a subdivision that has a marina where the boat slips are in addition to, you know, the regular homeowners association fees? Same thing with stalls or whatever. I guess that would be set up.
Yeah, in other words, it wouldn't be a flat fee for every owner. The owners that have the horses there would be paying additional fees.
Okay.
Sort of like us charging residents for basketball courts.
Well, if you don't, you know, if you're a person that doesn't wish to pay the price and so on, don't have any interest in horses, it's not like you're in any other development around you can buy a lot in. Right. I mean, you know, it's just not this is being done for a specific market, it seems to me.
Well, let's not beat a never mind.
Not beat a dead horse, Mr. Fuqua.
The placement for the school bus shelter, you mentioned it was further up. Is it going to be ahead of the gate or behind the gate?
Again, we wanted to coordinate that with the school itself. But what we envision would be coming down here and having it either in this area here or over in here toward where this parking area would be. There might not be any need to duplicate parking because this could probably be used because you want some parking area if people drive down to drop the kids off so they're not right on the side of the road. There's plenty of room to coordinate that. So
I don't know that a school bus will come down that lane.
Again, that's part of what has to be coordinated, because if they required it to be out here, we only have a 50-foot entrance coming in, so it would have to be something to be worked out with the school.
Okay. No further questions.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Gordy?
I have no questions. No questions, sir.
Mr. Lang?
Just a statement. I have a little problem with this project and the one just before it, because you've got proposed central sewer facilities proposed to serve a project that central sewer system hadn't even been, it may have been applied for, but it haven't been processed yet. And it's like the cart before the horse situation where you got an application for something that doesn't even have a service. It's a little discomfort there in giving consideration.
Well, Mr. Lang, hasn't our practice been in the past that in that case we waited until the conditional use was approved for that sewer treatment project?
I won't necessarily say that's the only practice, but.
Does the applicant having to take any position on that with regard to, I mean, you know, in terms
well,
of.
Well, again, what we presented to the commission and our plan on this, obviously, is to have central sewer that will be provided by Artesian. And the conditions I submitted, one of the conditions is that central water and sewer would be provided by a regulated public utility company. And if we can't meet that condition, then this can't be built. So, you know, there's a lot of factors that have to be met along the path of having a development approved, and that's one of them. If that isn't approved, then quite frankly, some other alternative will be found.
I mean, I guess it just comes down to that the plan's been revised based on the elimination of the drain fields on that project. And so if I think maybe what Mr. Link's getting at, too, is if it turns out that conditional use is not approved, drain fields got to come back on this project, and you got to revise the site plan.
We would have to come back in for another public hearing to basically present something different, because this is the subdivision that we're preparing. And again, I understand, and that would be our burden to do, just not to lose sight of the fact that, you know, the first time I saw that plan, I was not very excited about it. In fact, I think I was excited probably isn't the word that I used. That was just such an improvement, such a better plan. It created, you know, a very, very attractive development. And again, the key to that was the the central water by Artesian. So, I mean, I certainly acknowledge Mr. Lank's point, but again, you can cover that by a condition. And again, as you know, this is going to be an 18-month, two-year process just to get, you know, through site plan approval and everything else, and these things track each other and, you know, catch up with one another.
Mr. Fuqua, Bruce has some additional information.
If I may, all right. And again, I alluded to earlier that Mr. Lank's exactly right. We do not yet have conditional approval to accept wastewater from off-site at the Beaver Creek subdivision. However, we do have permits in hand from DENREC in order to dispose of water that, frankly, or wastewater, treated wastewater, in excess of the Beaver Creek subdivision needs, so that you know, the capacity is there. You know, we still have the, I'll call it the political decision that needs to be made here at the county level.
Anything else, Mr. Lank?
No, that's all.
Scouts?
The cluster option requires an open space management plan, and I think that was one of the comments, and plus I don't see it addressed in your document or in your testimony anyplace.
Other than the restrictive covenants that the Homeowners Association would be responsible for all the common areas.
Well, I guess I would just refer you to the previous public hearing that we had. There was a 3 or 4 page open space management plan that you might want to use for reference as an example.
All right.
A little more detail about future response. The concern, I think, behind having the requirement isn't so much during the period of ownership and development, but when it's turned over to the Homeowners Association and what their responsibilities are, making sure that they're fully cognizant of what those responsibilities are, and the need for long-term maintenance, not just mowing the lawn. So anyway, that should be addressed since it is a requirement. That's all I have.
All right, sir. Mr. Robertson.
Findings of fact, I think you referenced them, and I've got conditions. Did you submit the findings of fact?
There were two sets moving down.
Two documents, but the
I only got his
findings.
Conditions.
Yeah, once per those conditions.
I got all conditions.
They might have got stopped on the way down.
Yeah, we got them. Thanks. Okay. Then my other question is if.
I don't know what needs them anyway.
If Mr. Fuqua hops in his Jetta on this site, how many minutes does it take to get to either Georgetown or Lewis from here?
A July 4th weekend, or
I don't do that one anymore. I don't do that one anymore. Not since I got that comment of that I should be up at Dover Downs.
Oh, yeah, right. That's all the questions I have.
All right, then. If you'll take a seat for a moment, we'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-50 KGH Properties Development LLC? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2005-50? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We thank you for being with us this evening. I invite you to remain, or you may call the office in the morning. The next public hearing is subdivision 2005-51, Vincent Otto.
Okay, appreciate it. That's all I'm working on. This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, dividing 8.7 acres into three lots. Located west of Road 436, 0.4 miles north of Route 24. Gentlemen, this application was also given consideration by the Technical Advisory Committee on November 23rd of 05, or 2005, excuse me, and that tax report is a part of the record. And I believe you all have copies of this application. And we have received no additional comments from any agencies, and therefore I have no further comment.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there someone here representing this application this evening? Step right up.
Evening. My name is Robert Lucas. I live in Lewis, Delaware. And Mrs. Odo, she owns the property.
Mrs. Odo.
I'm Shirley Odo.
Excuse me, I mispronounced your name earlier. Odo, thank you. Yeah, you've heard what our director had to say. You have anything else you wish to add to his comments?
Not really.
Not really. Okay. Well, why don't we see if anybody wants to ask you a question or two? Gordy, I think this is in your vast territory.
Do you have a reason why you're wanting to subdivide this or anything? I mean,
yes, I have children, and I wanted to have it done before something happened that I wouldn't have all this fussing afterwards.
Okay, that sounds good.
Because I know it will happen.
It's more or less for your children.
Estate planning, you'd say.
Yeah, that's good, yeah. Mm-hmm. So this 50-foot private road is already existing, right?
I'm not sure. Is that 50-foot already on that?
Yeah.
Because I don't think it was.
That's why they were applying.
And do you know if you have a septic feasibility yet?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
I don't have